Teammates, Vinken and Donick, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Gabe Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, and Adam Vinken here with you on Monday, live from Bridgestone Arena, where the Predators will host the Los Angeles Kings tonight at 7. Puck drop, again, is at 7. Pregame is at 6, I should say, on 102.5, 106.3 of the game. But joining us now on our phone line, driven by Wilson County, Hyundai.com, our friend Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter. Teron, I was struck by how emotional Brian Callahan was after the game yesterday. Clearly, he needed that win. What do you think the win yesterday meant to Brian Callahan, considering all of the issues that the Titans have had this season and the losing streaks along the way?
Yeah, I mean, he made it clear it meant everything. And he said, just look at him, I needed it. And you could tell that the week of preparation and just the frustration that they had leading up to it, and it was just something that they really needed, and especially the way that they did it, finally being able to finish. Those are all things that they have been waiting to see come together, and that's what the team did. They came together, they were connected, and when things went wrong, they responded, and it was a positive response.
We did receive some terrible injury news on the Titans front. Lloyd Cushenberry suffered an Achilles injury. It was reported in multiple places, and he will miss the rest of the season. Quandre Diggs, according to NFL Network, a season-ending Lisfranc injury that will require surgery. So Quandre Diggs and Lloyd Cushenberry are down for the rest of the season. I know the expectation is that Daniel Brunskill will replace Lloyd Cushenberry at center once Dylan Radins is available to play. But on the Diggs front, I mean, what are the Titans going to do in the secondary to replace Quandre Diggs, especially considering they're also missing L'Jarius Sneed? I know they play different positions, but they're missing L'Jarius Sneed and Chidobe Awuzie back there as well.
Yeah, well, I mean, Jarvis Brownlee has continued to fill in that corner, and Darrell Baker Jr., those guys have quietly played solid football. Then you look at the safety position, Mike Brown, he came in and he played, I think it was 80% of the snaps, and he took on Hunter Henry one-on-one down the sideline and got the pass breakup. So it's not like they don't have somebody. Obviously, you're not going to get the same level of play as you did from Diggs, but they'll probably bring someone else in. Julius Wood is a reserve safety that they have on there. They signed him from the Cowboys. But who knows? You know, maybe Matthew Jackson makes his way back. There's safeties all over the league that they could bring in and have be a difference, not a difference maker, but a player to help them out, and also on special teams. Because that's the thing you have to look at. Mike Brown played a lot of special teams. He was a personal punt protector, so you got that. You got to account for that as well.
Now, TD, did I'm sure you talked to the guys after the game, more importantly, the defensive guys. How did they explain that last play to you? Because, I mean, listen, there are going to be some fans out there that say, yeah, y'all the number one defense, y'all should have stopped it. But when you have a play like that, I don't care if you do have the number one defense, that is a scary play for a defensive unit, because you know that if those three guys or two guys don't get to the quarterback, he's sitting there with so much time that eventually he may just find an open guy. So what did those defensive players say about that last play?
Yeah, the DBs that I talked to, they just said that they were working the plaster, but they made a good point. Like, it's always hard to cover. And then when I told them that it was 11.5 seconds, they say, yeah, see, so how it's tough to cover a guy for 11.5 seconds for that long. And they were just trying to plaster. But then, you know, up front, you know, they had an opportunity to take Drake May down, but he was able to elude it, you know, and he kept extending the play. Brian Callahan, he talked about the fact that, you know, you got to look at, okay, do you rush three, drop eight? Because everybody's like, hey, well, why did they rush three? Well, I mean, you drop eight in coverage, you typically are going to be able to, you know, lock things up in time for the guys up front to get home, you know. So it just was that thing, okay, you drop eight or do you rush five? And as Callahan pointed out, have guys in one-on-one situations where it's almost cover zero. So it's just one of those things they had to figure out.
We're talking with Teron Davenport discussing the Tennessee Titans' second victory of the season after, what, 8 weeks now. Now, obviously, the Titans have a bunch of problems, TD. But then, as insult to injury, you have your starting center go down, Cushenberry. They put Levine in, but, you know, I don't know if it was a situation where, you know, the guy was just rushed into duty and he didn't look so well, or if he's just not the guy for the center position. How do you think they handle this moving forward? Do you think they move Brunskill back over once Raiden comes?
Yeah, I think that's really going to depend on Raiden's and what happens there. Brunskill has actually served as the backup center since training camp, and that was the whole reason, because everybody was like, well, why not put him on right tackle or right guard? Well, no, that's, they had him working at backup center, right? And so, remember, he could play every position. So he'll probably be the guy at center, and then you'll turn around and have Raiden's back and the rotation at right tackle. But if that's not the case and Raiden's isn't back, then Brunskill will remain at right guard. The right tackle will be what it is, and you'll have Corey Levin at center. He's on the practice squad. They have another elevation, but there's going to be a spot that opens up, right, when you look at what happens with these two getting placed on IR. So I wonder if they bring out a guy like a Cole Spencer, like sign him back to the practice squad, elevate Levin, and then work it that way.
Teron Davenport is with us. Teron, do you think going forward, especially now with some of the veterans going down, that they might, for example, Jaquan Jackson, I saw getting some reps as a wide receiver. In the big picture, and this is tough because if you're Ryan Callahan, you want the best team possible that's given you a chance to win every Sunday. But at the same time, if I'm Rand Carthon, I'd love to see more of Jaquan Jackson at wide receiver. I want to see if the young guys can play or not. Do you think there'll be some emphasis on the big picture with the young guys going forward?
Well, they're going to continue to play just because the depth has been, it's been eroded over the years, where you have this team that has not had full draft classes remain with the team. So they're going to play either way. Bryce Oliver was signed to the active roster as well, and you saw both of those guys working some X and other positions. So, yeah, I mean, I'm sure that the guys upstairs, they want to see what the young guys could do. But I believe Brian Callahan wants to as well.
Do you think there will be another trade before the deadline? I was thinking of this. I thought Arden Key had a good game yesterday, very active. I believe he is on either an expiring contract or one that is very tradable that could be attractive to somebody trying to load up. I'm just thinking of him. But what are your thoughts on the chances of another trade or two?
Yeah, it's possible. Arden Key, he's been on a tear, too. He last three games, he has four sacks. So you do have that. I don't think they trade anybody, honestly. I think they just remain as it is, unless, of course, one of those deals come that gives them extra draft picks and significant draft capital, because that's all it's about right now when it comes to any trades they make. It would be to acquire draft picks. They came in having five, and, you know, they have eight now, and it's you know, more swings, more at-bats, right? And that gives you more shots to hit home runs.
Under the umbrella of young players, how do you think Jarvis Brownlee is progressing? He's getting in there. They're going after him just like any team would go after a young rookie. He's physical, but he gets a little too physical at times. Do you think he is potentially a piece that could be around for a while?
Yeah, I think he's going to be around for a while. And as he continues to get adapted to the league, he'll see how to go about handling those calls, you know, when you get too handsy. And remember, he's a guy that, you know, he said he sees his game very similar to Legarius Sneed. And we know what happens with Sneed as far as getting hands on people. So I think going forward, he's going to be fine. The thing he does have to work on doing is trusting his eyes. And as Denard Wilson said, there's things that he's never seen before. So it's tough to critique him if he's going against something that he hasn't seen before and his reaction isn't exactly what he's supposed to do. But all along, it's going to get better for him, and I think this time playing is really good for him, especially
like doing so as a rookie and playing so young.
I saw Mark Schlereth do a couple of replays where he showed some of the things that the Titans were doing with stunts and twists and things like that.
Yeah.
And I thought Jeffrey Simmons had his best game that I've seen in a while. And I'm asking you, do you think they have found some ways to get him freed up a little bit more, or do you think it was just the Patriots are that bad?
No, I think it's both. They found ways to get him freed up more, and he's playing well. And actually, Amani Hooker, and I pointed this out on Twitter because I want people to see what he's talking about when he says, yeah, you know, the sacks are good, but he wants to impact the quarterback. And Amani Hooker's interception was a good example, and it's perfect because you brought up the twist and stunts. And, you know, he was on the left side like a five tech, and he looped inside, and he ended up getting right into Drake May's vision, right? And, you know, he anytime the pocket collapsing from the interior, they hate it. And that's what he gave Drake May, and Drake May rushed the throw, and Hooker got the easy interception. And everybody's going to point to Hooker. He made a great play, and he did make a good play, but that doesn't happen if Jeffrey Simmons doesn't get the pressure.
Teron, were you surprised that Will Levis was inactive yesterday?
I wasn't surprised that he was inactive once Saturday we found out that it was going to be Mason Rudolph.
I guess I'll rephrase. Were you surprised when we found out that Trevor Siemian was going to be elevated from the practice squad and that Will Levis was unlikely to play, like through the course of the week?
I did get surprised because he did. He threw, all 3 days, and I remember watching him at one point, and he was launching them down the field like, you know, it wasn't just soft toss. He was throwing the football, and he said that he felt good, and he was, he said it was his decision. Callahan was like, oh, well, that's my decision. And, that being said, he felt that he was okay just as far as being able to go out and throw the football. And I figured that he would play when he said that.
It was after the Colts game when Will Levis mentioned, I believe it was on a late interception, that his shoulder was bothering him a little bit, and that may have had played a role in the interception that he threw. It does feel like, though, that at that point it felt like Will Levis from afar. It felt like Will Levis and Brian Callahan may not have been on the same page about his availability or his being able to go through a whole game. How do you feel like that dichotomy has gone over the past few weeks with Will Levis being out of the lineup and also him saying it's my call on whether or not I can go?
Yeah, it wasn't them not being on the same page, actually. It was Levis. He felt that he was good to go, and Brian Callahan pointed it out correctly when he said, you know, a lot of times you do feel that way, then you get in the game and you have to use something that you can't really simulate in practice, and that's when it's like, oh, wait a minute, it's not as good as I thought it was. So that's more or less what happened there, and he explained that, and I get it, you know. So it was more of a matter of just Levis not truly understanding or feeling where he was as far as being able to do some things in games that he thought he would be able to do and that he wasn't able to simulate in practice.
Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter, joining us. TD, thanks so much for your time. We'll chat next week.
All right, appreciate it.
Teron Davenport joining us, 615-737-1025. It's a really big day tomorrow in our nation. It's a very big day. And no, I'm not talking about Election Day. We'll get to that next. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025, 1063, The Game.